final segment here of the Metabot Football Show is, well, now we got to get to the other side of the equator as South America also continues their World Cup qualifying play. And George, probably, I don't know, which is the biggest match for you in CONMEBOL this weekend?
Oh, the biggest match for me in CONMEBOL this weekend is going to be, I got to go with the obvious, Argentina-Venezuela. That's just the obvious, because I know Argentina's going to qualify, but I really want to see how Venezuela respond playing in Argentina. And if they can get a point off of Argentina, then to me, they are a legitimate team in terms of those top four automatic qualifying spots. I really want to see how Venezuela come out and play, because for a long time, and you know this longer than me, you know, being from Colombia and following it, for a long time, Venezuela were the doormat.
Yeah.
And now, they're in fourth place ahead of Uruguay and Chile on goal differential. I mean, if Venezuela finish in the top four,
they're automatically, not just in, they're automatically in.
They're automatically in.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, that is huge. I mean, nobody would ever thought Venezuela would be.
You'd hear rumblings of it. Oh, you know, they're growing, they're getting better, but they haven't been this close. I mean,
right.
They've always been on the outside in. They've come close a couple of times, or they've been close and then they fade away towards the end, but they have never been in this situation.
Right.
And neither of Argentina, because one little tidbit is that as soon as tickets went on sale for this match at the Monumental, and you've been there,
yeah,
it was sold out in about an hour and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
That's never happened for a national team game. National team crowds are usually more of the type that go and they walk up. It's more walk-up sales than anything else.
Right.
The resale market has just absolutely skyrocketed with national team games. And part of it is, of course, Messi, the whole Messi factor.
Mm-hmm.
But also the way that the national team is playing right now. Now, the big question mark for Argentina is how's the team going to play, knowing that they have both Kun Agüero, he's going to be out for both matches, the match against Venezuela, and of course the match midweek against Bolivia, and Angel Di Maria is also knocked. So people are talking about Rodrigo Palacio, they're talking about Ezequiel Lavezzi, they're talking about different options, different players
be
able to bring in. Not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea, but I think it would be, and I know you'd probably go with Palacio for obvious reasons, but
he's more informed in for Inter right now. Yeah, he's been performing very well for Inter right now. I've never been a fan of Pocho Lavezzi, period. And from what I've heard and speaking with the other Argentines, they're not huge fans of his either. But with injuries, you got to play him. He has to start.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. Maybe he comes to life. Playing with Messi usually makes people better. So maybe he'll perform well. You never know, but
meanwhile, Venezuela's back line is struggling too. If you start looking, Amorebieta's going to be out. Vizcarrondo's knocked. He's also hurt. Rosales is also injured. So you have two out of those three players that are instrumental to that back line already out. So we'll see what Cesar Farias is going to do. He's been talking, of course, a great deal, as he usually does. And we've been to some of his press conferences, and we know what he always is able to bring up as far as emotions as well as some of his quotes.
Right.
But I think that, well, of course, add to that that Venezuela is the only team that has beaten Argentina in this World Cup qualifying cycle. So I think that the blood's still in the eye there for Argentina. They want to get back, and they want to be able to beat Venezuela at home in front of their fans and prove to them that right now, to me, they're the best team, the best national team in South America, maybe by a good distance.
Right. Well, I mean, if they can win, and Ecuador, remember, Ecuador doesn't play this Friday, they'll have shown that good distance just by the points. They will go up, I believe it'll be 5 points if they win. Mm-hmm. No, 6 points if they win.
Yeah.
So that numbers gap will be a pretty good indication of how the distance between themselves and the rest of the teams. So we'll see. I'm just really curious. You mentioned Venezuela and their back line and the problems that they have. Mm-hmm. Cesar Farias has just impressed me so much. He, he seems like he's just going to find a way to grind out some results. We haven't made predictions or anything yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if he figures out some kind of system or combination of players in the back that finds a way to either get a draw, or if they lose, they lose maybe 1-0, something like that. Just find something that'll frustrate Argentina.
I don't think Venezuela's going to get blown out. I doubt that. You know, I strongly doubt that. But to be able to stop Messi, first of all, you know, that's a mission in and of itself. But also, it's the supporting cast that Messi's going to have around to see what they're going to be able to put out there and how they're going to react and how they're going to execute the plan that Alejandro Sabella has in store for them.
Right. Well, I mean, there's so much talent there, you would think that they're not going to fall off too much, you know. But we'll see. You know, sometimes it's temperamental. I've been reading stuff that it's going to be Lavezzi and Montillo that are going to get the start. And I'm interested to see Montillo, how he plays with Messi, because, I mean, practice is one thing, but in the game, it's completely different. You know?
It's practice.
Practice. Agüero and Higuain have a good chemistry with Messi because of the games that they played. But, I mean, they're, what, double digits in terms of all three of them together.
Yeah.
Deal, this might be his first time playing with Messi in a game. So that's something that could affect, well, that'll definitely have an impact on the outcome for sure. But, you know, the Santos man, I want to see how he does as well. That's going to be a good little subplot to that game.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what goes on there. Also, another match, and this is also a testament. You talked about recently about Ecuador and how they're doing. Of course, they're, you know, absolutely raving over their national team and their form. But another team that's raving about their national team and their form is Colombia, as they play Bolivia in Barranquilla on Friday as well. They kick off the World Cup qualifying match day for CONMEBOL over in one of your favorite stadiums, the Metropolitano.
Boy. Junior to Papa.
Yeah, that place is going to be absolutely rocking. And if Colombia win, they end up in second place. But also consider Argentina, are going to be in first. Colombia, after the halfway point, will have 19 points with 9 more matches to go.
And what's usually the magic number is what, 25,
25, 26? 25, 26, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and of course, all the credit, all the plaudits in the world have been given to Jose Pekerman. And, of course, now the big question is, Falcao hasn't been playing at his best the past couple of weeks. Injuries and of course, Atletico Madrid dropping in form just a little bit, eventually succumbing to Real Madrid in the La Liga table. Part of it, of course, because of Falcao.
Yeah.
And,
You read my mind, because that's what I've been worried about with Colombia and Atletico Madrid to a certain extent, is what happened, because every striker goes through this, except Messi, or every goal scorer, I should say, goes through this, except Messi. Messi with like 18 straight with a goal now, some ridiculous number. But the rest of the humans, they go through streaks where they don't score for 4 or 5 games. And what does the rest of the team do to make up for that? And with Colombia, I know they have, you know, Teo, and Jackson Martinez has been good for Porto, and Carlos Bacca has been pretty good for his Belgian team from Club Brugge. I think he scored a golazo the other day.
Yeah, he's already had 20 plus goals in the Belgian league. Yeah,
yeah. And I was wondering which one of those three are going to step up if Falcao doesn't have a big game. So,
well, Wilder Medina said, "Hey man, Peckerman, if you want, give me a try." The forward from Santa Fe. So you have volunteers, you have players out there. Jackson Martinez says he wants his chance. Dale obviously wants his chance. I mean, so you have a lot of depth there, and of course you have Juan Fernando Quintero, not necessarily in Falcao's position, but also an attacking player looking for an opportunity. So you have a good deal of depth. You do have a team that's relatively young, and we'll see what happens there. You know, we'll see what happens up top. That's going to be the big issue. I don't know if it'll necessarily be that Pekerman will, you know, understand. And I think Colombian fans and Colombian players have faith in him. He's been able to make some adjustments on the fly. And right now, he's one of the best coaches at doing it. It's making sure that he reads the game properly and making the proper adjustments when they need to be made. And he'll be the one that does that. He'll be the one that gets that part done. And make sure, make no doubt about it, have, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that if Falcao is not working, he'll try and make his other teammates the more effective ones, and in the process that ends up, you know, freeing him a little bit, relieving some pressure. But then also, you know, Beckerman will be very aware of saying, okay, fine, we got to take him out, got to put somebody back in. I mean, yeah, he's not going to keep Falcao out there if he's not performing.
Yeah, absolutely. One player that I've always liked with Colombia, and I know you being a Nacional fan, you're kind of like, not too fond of him. But I've always been impressed with Magnelli Torres, and
it's not being fond of him. I mean, okay, course, he's a great player. He has a sick amount of skills, but it's more frustration because you see him at times very lackadaisical. And the thing with those types of players is that they can just absolutely pull some magic out of the hat, one touch, and they make a difference. But by the time they make that touch, they've made so many other mistakes. They don't run, they don't this. Although you're starting to see that turnaround, that page turnaround, maybe a little bit too late for Magnelli Torres, as he's already 28, 29 years old. The problem with him is exactly that. You know, when do you see those bits and pieces of magic? And they're very few and far between at times.
Absolutely, that could be that could hurt the team. That could hurt the team. But here's the thing. They have some good creative players as well with James Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
I know Freddy Guarín is not a playmaker, but he's still a good box-to-box midfielder. So that could make up for it in case he has an off game. But you don't want to have too much of the offense run through Magnelli Torres. With all the depth that they have, you know, we talk about it with when Andy Heron was on.
Mm-hmm.
You move the ball around, you get all those talented players, you get them to touch the ball and stuff like that, then Colombia can be really dangerous. Probably more dangerous when all those talented players touch the ball and move around than trying to target Falcao in the area.
And I think that was the big problem with Colombia before, that they're always trying to target, but nobody was looking they're just looking to send the ball to him instead of bringing the ball to him and putting him in a position where he could be more effective. You know, when he has two players on top of him and the ball's coming way off target and he doesn't have any room to stop the ball or bring it down, you're really complicating him. But
right,
when you have a player that can transport from either wing, that can bring the ball up, that can link up with him in the middle of the pitch and help him at least have the luxury to turn around, which is what he does have now, That's the big issue. That's the big difference, and that's where you see him start to set apart from the pack now, at least at the national team level.
Yeah, it's kind of the formula that Atletico Madrid use when they have with Adrián. Adrián is there as a player who can dribble. He's not afraid to get the ball into the area and then create defenders or make defenders draw to him, and then they have to leave Falcao wide open. Or Falcao makes the runs, or he's smart enough to see those spaces and maneuver the defenders. It's kind of like a chess game with Falcao in his mind sometimes, the way he's able to make defenders go one way, and then he runs into space and finishes. But like you said, you need those players to bring the ball up instead of trying to just cross in and get those services in. So, and they have the players with Magnelli and James Rodriguez and stuff like that. So, and you mentioned Quintero. So it's going to be interesting what happens against Bolivia. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they win 3-0. That might be the only game of this round on Friday where one team should dominate the other team. Colombia at home, superior talent. Bolivia, their form has dipped. That's the one game where they should win by 2-3 goals.
Although Bolivia looking for, and I was reading, I think it was their first away win in World Cup qualifying play in 20 years.
Ow. Wow.
As the last time they won, it was a 7-1 win in Venezuela when they were playing Venezuela. Actually, they were losing that game 1-0 against Venezuela, and they came back and beat them 7-1.
Wow.
And that side was just phenomenal. You know, with Marco Echeverri, Marco Sandi, Platini Sanchez, mm-hmm. Truco in goal. I think Milton Melgar was on that side. I mean, that Bolivian side was absolutely just phenomenal, that one that went to the World Cup back in 1994.
Yeah.
But since then, they have not been able to win on the road in a World Cup qualifier. And you really, it's just absolutely mind-boggling to see how they've gone down. But keep an eye on Chumacero, on Alejandro Chumacero, the man from The Strongest. Sensational midfield. He's just one of those 4x4 guys that just runs you over, keeps on running, is here, is there, moves around. He could be a big difference maker for Bolivia. He can cause the Colombian midfield some problems if he's on his game. He could be that one factor that Colombia might have to deal with in a big way if Saavedra Azcárgorta's 4-4-2 ends up working out the way he wants it to be.
Yeah, absolutely. He's gonna be the man in the middle for Bolivia. And so,
and of course, up top is gonna be Marcelo Moreno Martins. So
right, right. He's their Marcelo Martins. When they need the goal, he's the one that they're gonna count on. But he's gonna have to link up with Chumacero in order to make it happen. If the Colombian midfield, the holding midfielders, you figure that's gonna be what, Abel Aguilar and
Carlos Sanchez, or
and Carlos Sanchez, yeah, somebody like that. Maybe Guarín will have some marking duties as well. Mm-hmm. They can, if they shut down Chumacero, and they're gonna dominate the possession, and Bolivia are gonna, they're in trouble.
I had to throw that Chumacero part out because my work buddy's huge, The Strongest fan, huge, just
crazy,
the Strongest fan. He's just, you know, he's just like, you know, every time he's watching The Strongest match, I just sit back and laugh because he's always like, come on, Chumita, oh, you know, he's cursing and everything, you know, but it's all good. Now, let's move over to Uruguay real quick, to Montevideo. Is last time these two teams met, Uruguay was lamenting. They're like, oh, my God, you know, we should have gotten the 3 points. We should have gotten the 3 points from Paraguay. And now they're kind of lamenting not getting those 2 points because now you see a Paraguay team pretty much one step away from being done and dusted,
yeah,
against the Uruguay side that's just been struggling, and they've been struggling really bad. I mean, they got old quick.
Oh, they sure did. Yeah, I mean, Forlán hasn't been
they were considering, Oscar Washington Tavares considering benching Forlán for this match.
Well, I can see why he would. I understand that. I can understand why he would want to bench him. He hasn't been, since he left Atletico Madrid, well, actually, maybe, let me put it this way, since the game winner against Fulham in the Europa League final, he hasn't been the 49. I mean, he had a very good World Cup. Let me put it, well, rephrase. Since the World Cup in 2010, he hasn't been the same.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's 33 years old, so he's starting to wind down his career.
He's had some sparks for the Internacional. He's had those moments. He's had those instances where you're like, oh, why can't he do that all the time?
Right.
But you see those moments very few and far between, if it's not injuries, if it's not form, if it's not this, if it's not that. But you're starting to see it now. I think Tavares is now finally realizing what everyone's been telling him for quite a few months now, that he needs to start injecting new talent, new youngsters, and I think that's going to have to start happening now, and more importantly, not play Edinson Cavani out on the wing.
Yeah, Edinson Cavani needs to be. You can have Suarez on the wing because Suarez can break down a defender one on one very easily, and you got to have Cavani in the middle. So, is it a 4-3-3? Are you going to play a 4-3-1-2? How's that going to work? And if you do the 4-3-3...
The thing is, there's so many problems with Uruguay. It's not just that up top. It's also in the back when you have players such as Diego Lugano, who's, you know, he went to Malaga and really isn't getting that much more playing time. Well, significantly more, which doesn't mean a whole lot if you compare it to what he was doing over at PSG.
Right.
You know, his form is starting to dip. He's starting to get old. Now, are we going to start seeing Sebastián Coates finally start to develop? Who are the other players that are coming in? You know, are the under-20s getting a chance? I mean, we you and I have done Uruguayan football, and we see some of these youngsters that come out, the Diego Rolands and the Gonzalo Buenos and all the players that are going to be in that World Cup in Turkey. And why aren't some of these getting at least, you know, an exposure, a taste of that national team side?
Yeah, I agree. Even if they don't play, at least you call them up, get them the experience of being in a World Cup qualifying training camp so that they can learn from a 49 or a Lugano. Even though they haven't been on form, they still have a lot of experience. They're still very good players. They can learn from those guys. I don't understand it myself. I mean, you mentioned we've watched Uruguayan football, you know, between the players you mentioned. And then, you know, Adrian Luna, who's, I've always been impressed with him when I have to do Nacional games. He's very good. Mm-hmm. I don't see why they don't get more.
Well, another player, Renato Cesar, is very good.
Yeah, I mean, very good, yeah.
You start seeing the Peñarol players, a couple of players from Defensor Sporting.
Yeah. Diego Rolán plays for Defensor, I believe.
Yeah, right? He plays for Bordeaux now.
Right, right.
So you know that, you know, he's Diego Laxalt as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, some of these players need to get a chance, and I think that's pretty much what's kind of seen Uruguay stagnate, and we've seen it happen right before our eyes. During the World Cup qualifying phase, they start out just lights out. You know, the momentum from Copa America, from winning it, just you saw them really just lights out, and then it just started fading and fading, right, and fading and fading and fading. And the goalkeeping position also.
Oh, okay.
You know, Fernando Muslera, you know, God bless him. He was World Cup goalkeeper in 2010. Was important for them to advance in 2011. You got to start looking at other options.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's made some for Galatasaray. I know they're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but you see some of the stuff he's done with Galatasaray, and you go, "Whoa, he's made some mistakes that go, wow, that's some serious head scratching." What Muslera has, some of the errors he's made for Galatasaray. So, and his form hasn't been very good either. Uruguay have the talent, but I think, like you mentioned, it's older, and they have to start bringing in some of these younger players, and some of the players that are now veterans, I guess you can say, that are in their mid-20s, you know, first one that comes to mind is Lovato.
Mm-hmm.
They have to start playing to their potential, because especially Nicolás Lovato, I think he was really the player that maybe people thought would be that bridge that gap.
Yeah, I think after that sending off in the World Cup, that really stunted his
right
progression in the national team, and that's one thing that you don't really hear too much now, but maybe in Uruguay you still hear it a lot. And he didn't have the best of times when he was at Ajax. It's getting a little bit better for him over at Botafogo, but still,
yeah,
you don't see him progress as much as he should have. So we'll see what happens to them. Yeah, and finally,
learning from Seedorf. If he's not learning from Seedorf at Botafogo, then he's got some serious problems.
Yeah, yeah, that's one guy you really got to, you know, you got to be all over him in order to try and get as much information as you possibly can. Paraguay, in the meantime, Paraguay just completely struggling. I mean, Paraguay can't find their way out. And if you, and a guy I definitely recommend because he's been on our show is Ralph Hanna.
Yeah.
You just see him, it's just like pretty much hopeless.
Oh yeah, they have no chance.
I don't know what's worse for them. It's, I don't know that Paraguay is playing bad, or that Larissa Riquelme says she's not going to be taking off her clothes anymore.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know which was worse, man.
I know what's worse. Larissa Riquelme saying she's not going to take off her clothes. That's far worse. Oh,
yeah, I think that's part of the reason. So
they need to go on a winning streak.
She's going to have to do that to get on a winning streak. But then again, they were on a losing streak and she was doing the same. So I guess I guess it doesn't matter anymore. But I don't know. Maybe that news is going to make things worse. I hope not. But, George, finally, probably the biggest, maybe not the most marquee matchup, but probably the most important derby of this round. It's going to be in Lima. Is both Peru and Chile facing off. Peru looking to get into the race again. They're also in one of those situations where a lack of points, either, you know, I'm saying more of a loss than anything else, is pretty much going to be the end of Peru for them, and it's going to be unfortunate. But it's going to be a packed house in Lima. Of course, they're facing Chile, and that's going to be something that's going to be wow. You know, that derby, really, you've seen it. If you follow South American football, a Chipe is pretty much as intense as you're going to get as a rivalry.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good game between Peru and Chile. Both teams, they need the 3 points, especially Peru. And Peru, I've scratched my head with Peru more than any other team, because you look at the talent that they have, and they should be in the top five. But when you look at the talent that they have, I mean, we do it Bundesliga. We see Farfan every week. I mean, he looks like he is a beast. Farfan is a beast. You know, Paulo Guerrero is scoring goals for Corinthians. And I mean, even their back line is pretty decent with Zambrano of Eintracht Frankfurt. And they're in second to last. I don't understand it. You know, I know you've written about Jordi Reyna, the youngster, mm-hmm. how he's a young product that's going to be very good. I just don't understand how they...
Of course, and the young player for Real Madrid that now already committed to being a Peruvian international. So, I mean... You start seeing him, Andy Polo, who unfortunately, I mean, his saga has been kind of sad because he was going to play with Genoa, but then didn't, but then did, and then finally a couple of days ago, he gets his contract rescinded from Genoa, and he's going to stay at Universitario. Doesn't want to stay at Universitario, wants to go to Europe, and he's stuck in limbo right now. So I mean,
I just don't understand. Peru could be, I mean, the talent that they have this. In this World Cup qualifying cycle is pretty good. I mean, maybe three or four teams. You know, that's why I say they should be in the top five, because only three, four teams from top to bottom have the talent that Peru have, or more talent than Peru. And they just, it's not coming together. It's not coming together. I don't know what, I think if Peru, if they lose this game against Chile, like you mentioned, an arch rival game, I think Marc Arián is done. I think he might be,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean,
I've been talking to people there, and they're not blaming him for it. He's been, you know, he's been pretty upfront about it, and I don't know if he'll be sacked just yet. But mm-hmm. I mean, you know, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. It's true. But It's a mystery. Peru is the mystery for me. They're the mystery. I don't understand it. But it's going to be a good game, that rivalry game, like you mentioned, between Peru and Chile. It should be a good one.
We'll see what happens there, man, George.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be in a good time. We'll get together, watch those matches on Friday. That's going to be a fun time.
Ooh, yeah.
So we'll see. And any of you guys who are listening, if you want to join us over at Miami Beach, definitely there, man, because, you know, this is one of the places in the U.S. where you definitely want to be for World Cup qualifying, or even that, for the World Cup, because you start seeing flags all over the place.
Oh, man.
You know what we should do, man? Get there a little bit early, start sending stuff, you know, on Twitter, so showing people how things roll around here in Miami when it comes to World Cup qualifying play.
Oh, my goodness. Not only World Cup qualifying, but, like, Copa America. I mean, Uruguay won the tournament, and... And I drove down Miami Beach with my mom and my little niece, and there was people with almost my nephew, and there were Uruguayan flags out the window. Remember, we went to South Beach when Brazil won
mm-hmm.
the Copa America. What was it 2007, I believe? And then they had the people on South Beach with the, you know, the doing the capoeira and the samba, dancing with the drums. I mean, yeah, it's a unique down here when those things happen. Yeah,
we got that going on, and you know, we got lots of other stuff going on. In this coming week of FIFA International play. So it'll be interesting, of course. I think we'll probably do something next week prior to the U.S. game, don't you think?
Sounds good, man. Yeah, I mean, U.S.-Mexico, yeah. we need to come up with a rivalry, a name for that rivalry game. Because it's just U.S.-Mexico. Is there a nickname for that we could come up with, you know?
No, man. We gotta
like classical.
The Classical of North America or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. We'll work it out.
We'll put our brains together. Yeah,
yeah, of course. Anyway, I mean, we already popularized Pecho Frio, so, I mean, why not?
There you go.
So I think we can do it again with U.S. and Mexico. George, so what are you doing this week, man?
This week? Well, tomorrow, World Cup qualifiers in Gold TV in Europe with the Kazakhstan and Germany and Sweden and Republic of Ireland. And then Uruguayan football continues, so it'll be... I want to say I'm doing – I forgot the teams I'm playing. I know it's Peñarol versus – I can't remember who, but – or Danubio-Peñarol. That's who it is.
That's going to be a good one.
And that should be a pretty good game, yeah. Danubio are 1 point ahead of Peñarol in the standing, so –
Yeah.
Yeah, Danubio surprising a lot of people in the Clausura in Uruguay so far.
And I got Nacional on Sunday, so, you know, I'm getting back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows yet who the coach, if there will be a new coach coming in over for Nacional. We'll see.
Well, they're talking about if Marc Arián doesn't make it in Peru, him. They're talking about Peluso.
They're talking about Peluso if Paraguay's not doing well.
Right.
Also, Matias Almeida.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes on, man. Lots going on, George. So where can we follow you, man?
George D. Ironman on Twitter. And what about yourself?
Well, you can just follow me on Twitter. It's Juan G underscore Arango over on Twitter, A-R-A-N-G-O. You can also check out our Facebook page. It's changed. It's now facebook.com/TheMatAboutFootballShow. So you can check it out. And we really loading it up with content and information and all types of stuff. We'll probably even throw lineups while we're at it, pictures, videos. And, of course, today, what a wonderful day to do a show, especially with Ronaldinho's birthday happening on today. So, you know, if he's listening by any way, shape, or form, shout out to him as well. And also shout out to all the fans that are listening here on the Mad About Football Show. Lots of real cool stuff coming up. So that's why you should also be checking out our Facebook page, also our Twitter handle, which is Mad About Football, F-U-T-B-O-L, just to make sure that you get it right.
And you can follow Mike also, Deportes,
yes,
underscore Lopez.
You can also follow, excuse me, you can also follow Tom, our friend Tom Marshall, who is our special guest host today.
Yeah.
It's Mex World Cup.
Yep.
You can follow Tom Marshall, of course. He's part of that wonderful triumvirate over at our sister show, the Mexican Soccer Show. So that's going to be
stuff,
always listen to that for your Liga MX information, because they really kick ass with that. Really good job. And, of course, you can also find us on World Football Daily, of course. None other and none less than the World Football Daily network of shows. So for my partner, George D. Metellus, and, of course, in absentia, our partner as well, Mike El Pibe de Oro, I'm Juan Arango. Talk to you later.
Peace.
Man, that was – too bad we didn't have –